Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Hi, Matt. How are you?
Wow, I'm just all choked up again. You made me relive last night. What can I tell you? And ABC, I think they're going to retitle the show The Great Doctor for next season because the ratings are so good. We'll see.
What did you think of that episode or that show generally?
I think it's a fine show. I'm happy that it's a hit. I'm happy when anything's a hit anymore in this fragmented marketplace, when anybody lands a show that people like. I mean, I know people sometimes scoff at how manipulative This Is Us is, but people love those characters, and I'm thrilled that it's a big hit show, and the fact that ABC's finally landed a big hit show that isn't one of those silly Shonda Rhimes melodramas, I'm kind of happy for it. I mean, there's elements of this show that are very television, let's put it that way, but yet it's very enjoyable. And I think Freddie Highmore making that career transition from playing Norman Bates on cable to playing this guy, he's really good. He's just really, really good. So I all respect to Freddie Highmore there.
You know, really interesting thing about the show, too, is, I mean, I'm sure a doctor would go, oh, this is ridiculous. You're not going to da-da-da-da-da. But the graphic, true surgical scenery that you see in this is sometimes jaw-dropping. You saw a bowel resection last night that was just something I had never seen on television before.
No, I agree. It can be that. They certainly do turn up the volume nowadays on these medical shows.
Yeah,
but this
yeah.
one, you know, the fact that it can be clinical but also so emotional, I think that's what people really like about this show, that it hits all those certain buttons. And if a few of the side characters are a bit much, there's the core there of Freddie playing Dr. Sean Murphy and then his relationship with older Dr. Glassman, his mentor. And I think it is, again, Richard Schiff, you know, again, knocking out of the park, the gruff but lovable.
Yes, you know. Exactly. That's The Good Doctor. Roseanne debuts tonight, the new version?
Yes, back-to-back episodes, and then future going forward, it'll be paired with the show that sort of is its successor, the middle on ABC and Future Tuesdays. But tonight it's two episodes back-to-back. The new trend, not just of reboots, but also of revivals, where it's not just bringing the show's title back, but the original cast comes back. It worked really well for Will and Grace earlier this year, to the point where NBC has already renewed it for a third season before the first is even over. So we'll see what happens when Roseanne comes back, but I think ABC will be glad that they were able to assemble all of those original players, and I think Roseanne is very blessed to have John Goodman coming back after they unceremoniously killed him off in the final season.
Yeah, whatever.
Of course, they make jokes. They make jokes about it. The fact that why does everybody think I'm dead, or why does everybody make such a big fuss that I'm alive? Those kind of jokes. But what we've got here is a show that was quite groundbreaking in its day, showing a slice of Americana that you never see on TV. The people who don't make very much money, who aren't model perfect, who are sloppy, who are overweight, and so that sort of changes, and it hasn't really changed, and they're still living paycheck to paycheck. Now that we have Grandma Roseanne, because we're really dealing with the fact that her kids now have kids, Darlene is now a single mom with a surly daughter who's very much like Darlene was back in the day. That's the Sarah Gilbert character, and then Jackie is back, the sister, Laurie Metcalf, to have all these wonderful people back in the world of the Connor family, and the fact that they're also dealing with the realities of today. So there's even political arguments because Roseanne and Jackie did not vote for the same side in the last election, and they're not speaking to each other over it. One calls one a deplorable, the other one calls one a snowflake, and so you can figure out where that goes.
Yeah.
And so that's very relevant. I think the fact that the Connor family is still relevant to an America that is still struggling somewhat, and certainly struggling in the wake of this crazy world that we're all living in. But it's to the point where in a couple of episodes you'll see that Roseanne needs like knee surgery. Her knees are giving out, and she can't afford it. And so they're taking these pills. And what happens if you get addicted to those?
So Matt, you've really seen these episodes. What do you think of these first two episodes? Yeah. Is it pretty good?
I think it's pretty good, yeah. I mean, you know, the fact is the tone is the same. The fact that they are doing the tough love with sort of sarcastic humor, the bites of those jokes are very much the same that they were way back when. There's an element where, you know, some TV has kind of moved on, but there's still a place for these classic sitcoms.
And they look great. Audience. And I'm sorry, they show the old clips and the new clips, and Goodman looks like Goodman. Roseanne looks better than ever. I was not a fan of the show originally. I just didn't watch it, but I'm encouraged to see it now, and I can't quite put my finger on why. I want to ask you about another show.
Yeah. Sure.
You okay?
Yeah.
I don't mean to cut you off, but I got a few minutes left here. Tell me about The Terror. Do you know much about The Terror?
Yeah, I've seen the full 10-episode season of The Terror, and I'm really a fan of it. I was a fan of the book many years ago. A guy called Dan Simmons wrote this big epic book. It's kind of a mix between a historical epic and a horror movie, where it's as if Masterpiece Theater had made a monster movie or something. It's got great British actors in it, but it's about two Royal Navy ships in the 1840s who go on an expedition to find a passage through the Arctic. They get trapped in the winter ice over successive winters. It's a survival epic, but while they're stuck in this alien landscape, they are also besieged by some kind of a supernatural force. There's a sense that they are where they don't belong. So this guy Dan Simmons took an actual piece of historical fact about these ships that went missing, and he's created a sort of a dark, scary story around it. So it's got all those elements to it over a 10-episode run, and it's unlike anything else on TV. So I always like things that don't look like anything.
What network's going to run that, Matt? Where am I going to see
it? That's on AMC. It began on Monday on AMC. So AMC. They were promoting it heavily out of The Walking Dead, and so it's a much more literary piece than The Walking Dead, but it has some of those elements of some graphic terror at the same time. It's got sort of a historical survival aspect.
Those of us who are fans of The Endurance and some of those great stories about the Antarctic exploration are probably attracted to it. I thought, oh, it's kind of a docudrama about that, but it's the other pole, and it's complete fiction, so I'll keep that in mind. I wanted to ask you about this. I saw a story this week that said 40 of the top 40 cable TV shows last week, 37 of them were news and talk shows, you know, the Rachel Maddow's and a lot of the Fox shows as well. There were only three that weren't. One was that were scripted television programs. Some of them were also sporting events. But the three were a Hallmark Channel movie, one of those house flipper shows, just a random episode popped up, and Walking Dead. I cannot believe that Walking Dead has the staying power that show does.
I am kind of surprised, too, because the show is an ordeal to watch anymore, although recent episodes have picked up the game a little bit, but they've been way too long in this battle where it's basically just shootouts between the good guys and the Negan people, and I'm really bored with it. But people still watch it because it's pretty graphic, and they still are watching it because it has that kind of almost a video game aspect to it. Well, the thing, you know, the reason that the numbers are so strong for these things is that in the world of cable, those things that are live, people will be watching it, and they're so engaged in the craziness of this world of the politics and everything, so it drives the numbers, whereas we don't really, anything that's like scripted, it's very rare when you're watching it in real time and as it airs anymore. I mean, so many people have unplugged that I think that that's why the numbers don't look so great in like real-time TV. But people are watching shows like all over the spectrum, and of course, you know, there's the Netflix factor that's pulled people away from watching regular TV. People watch a show like Crazy Ex-Girlfriend on the CW, not on the CW. They wait till the season's over, then they watch it all on Netflix over a weekend. So that's the way people are watching TV nowadays. So it really does affect the numbers, and it's really hard to know what a metric, what is a hit nowadays. It's really kind of even hard to know.
Yeah. Are you excited about The Americans, and have you seen much of the new season?
I've seen three of the episodes of the final season. It is the final season. I am really almost fearful of the end game here because I love this show and the characters. They're anti-heroes. You really kind of almost don't root for them. I mean, they're embedded Russian spies, but I know it's not going to end well. It kind of reminds me of the end game of Breaking Bad. You knew something really terrible was going to happen, but you couldn't stop watching, and the characters were so compelling that you really enjoyed the ride, and that's what I'm doing with The Americans. It's really one of the best shows on TV. The final season begins Wednesday on FX.
One last thing about two reality or competition shows, American Idol and Dancing with the Stars. One of our listeners said, what's going to happen with Dancing with the Stars? I presume that they're doing fine. This isn't the last season
They're not real keen on what's happening this spring, because with American Idol taking over Sundays and Mondays for a while, that it's going to be a shortened season of Dancing with the Stars. It's going to come on at the very end of April. Oh. It's going to be an all-athlete edition. It's only going to run for like about a month, but it'll be back in the fall like it normally is and have a full season. But this is going to be a shortened, abbreviated season of Dancing with the Stars, kind of making way for American Idol, which is doing okay on Sundays and not so good when it goes up against The Voice.
I was interested. We talked a little bit here about Katy Perry's behavior. That's the only way to describe it, behavior. But I guess that blip is come and gone. I was hopeful for the show. I hope this is a good season. I hope I like the nice stories. I like the nice talent. I get wrapped up in the thing if you invest yourself in it. And I'm hoping that mm-hmm. they'll be able to catch the magic again, you know?
I hope so. I don't think it'll ever be what it was, but it's not bad, and I still kind of prefer it over right now the Voice, because I like the early part of The Voice, but once it becomes teams and I just don't, and it becomes more about the celebrity coaches. If they keep the spotlight on the singer, and that's what American Idol does best, as it goes through this whole, we just finished Hollywood Week, so once they really need to focus down on the big candidates and who's really going to pop through, maybe they've got it, and maybe it'll create a new superstar. But it's not. But there's no way for it to ever achieve that kind of mass that it had once upon a time. So I think they brought it back too soon, to be honest with you. But it's there anyway. It's unavoidable. So it's there. Watch it or not, like everything else on TV.
Read Matt Rausch, the senior TV critic at TV Guide Magazine. If you type in TVinsider.com or TV Guide Magazine, you'll see Matt Rausch's writing there. It's good to hear you, Matt. I hope you're doing well.
I'm doing great. I appreciate you having me back on. It's nice talking to you.
Let's do this again sometime soon. Thanks for your time.
Oh, you bet. Thanks, John.